if you accept all the evidence that they give out.
And there are any number of credible scientists in the world today who do not believe uniformitarianism. Everything continues as it was. Now, there are a number of factors in this world where God has already visited in judgment. First, the fall. God created man upright, but through sin he is fallen. The curse. This world was meant to be a place of joy, not tears. It was meant to be a place of health, not sickness. It was meant to be a place of life, not death. But at the fall through sin, death came into the world. And all vegetation, all human, all animal life dies.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. And we're letting the Bible speak today on 2 Peter 3. That passage which talks about scoffers, ungodly, the destruction of this world by fire, and the new heavens and the new earth. This is all a part of our series on the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And I trust that you will stay with us day by day as we expound these messages on the return of our Lord Jesus, the events that will surround it, and how to get a handle on the various phases that will take place during the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Bible is extensive in its teaching on these things. They're not left ambiguous. They're not left unclear. There may be certain details that are not filled in, but the big picture adds up to the truth that the Lord will come. He will come for his people. He will gather his saints. There will be a resurrection day, and it will be followed by a judgment day when the righteous will be gathered home and the wicked will be destroyed. Then this earth that is now the scene of the curse, that is marked by sin and pollution and corruption, this world is going to be burned up by fire. We have to remember that. Now, there's a word coming up in our message today I want to explain. It's called entropy. And it's all around you. It's everywhere you go. It's on your clothes. It's on your shoes. It's on your purse. It's on your car. And entropy is the law that everything goes from good to bad. Everything declines out of use. So stay tuned with us as we turn to the message today from the pulpit of our church.
You take any machine that is made, when it runs its cycle, what happens? Wears out. It wears out. That's called the law of entropy. Everything is on the downgrade. There is nothing in this world getting better. Nothing. Not even human bodies. Every one of us are subject to death and decay. That's true of the very world in which we live. The energy supplies, the global warming people are worried that this world is going to destroy itself if we keep pumping carbon into the air, if we keep cutting down trees, and if we keep tampering with the environment, this world's in trouble. So it's not getting better, even according to the environmentalists who believe in global warming. Their science tells us, they tell us, the deserts are expanding. The glacial areas in the North and South Poles are diminishing. The seas are rising. Things are not staying as they were, if you accept all the evidence that they give out. And there are any number of credible scientists in the world today who do not believe uniformitarianism. Everything continues as it was. Now, there are a number of factors in this world where God has already visited in judgment. First, the fall. God created man upright, but through sin he is fallen. The curse. This world was meant to be a place of joy, not tears. It was meant to be a place of health, not sickness. It was meant to be a place of life, not death. But at the fall through sin, death came into the world. And all vegetation, all human, all animal life dies. So that's the fall. What else has been a contributor to destroy this world's uniformity. Noah's flood. And Peter deals with this flood right here. And you'll notice what they were saying here. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. This is bad science. This is bad hypothesis. They are willingly ignorant of it. In other words, they turn a blind eye. They choose not to accept this information, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. These bad scientists don't accept that this world has already been judged in a global catastrophe. Because it says here, being overflowed with water, perished. The world that then was. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto something. And this is the reason they don't want to accept the information of a global flood. Because if you believe in a global flood, it's going to lead to the global dissolution of this earth by fire. One gives ground for the other. And the evolutionists, the bad science of today, deny that this world has already been visited in global catastrophic judgment, because they want to deny that this world will not be destroyed by fire. Those who do realize the accuracy of Noah's flood and the account that is given in the book of Genesis, that it was a global flood that has left the deposits of fossils all around the world, where this whole world was judged and only 8 people survived through the ark. Those who see that and accept that as right and good information will also see the need to warn men today that God keeps his promise, the promise of his coming. Those who follow bad science, they say God will not keep his promise. Those who accept the science of geology, that this world is the product of judgment, a global flood. We listen to God in his word, and just as he destroyed the world in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. That is the message of the gospel. This world is not improving. It's not even remaining static. It's degenerating. Death is all around us. There is decay everywhere. You think of that tree in Stanley Park, that big cedar tree that they're trying to preserve. I drove by it not so long ago with Dr. McClellan, Ms. McClellan, Beulah and I, and he wanted to see this big tree that he had heard about. And this tree, this trunk of a tree, the roots now are not holding in the ground at all. There's nothing holding the tree into the ground. The root system is gone. And so the city has propped up this tree with metal props and so on. And you may have even heard about the time when someone was welding and the tree caught fire. They had to bring the fire people to come and put the fire out of the tree. Now, all of this is people who want things to continue as they were. But what do they have to do? They have to do things that are unnatural to try and preserve a tree stump. Now, it's big, it's historic, it has been there a long time, but it is not staying as it was. It's now staying propped up by man until finally it will decompose and it will be gone. You see, entropy is a major scientific fact accepted by all physical scientists. And this world is not continuing as it was. And this world will not continue forever. The Lord has said he is coming again. And we have science on the side of the Bible. We have the promise of the Lord's coming. And we're not going to follow bad science. We're going to follow the promise of the Lord. As we move to verse 8 and 9, you will notice that these men follow bad patience. They are men of a bad patience. Because it says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." And that's, of course, what the ungodly say. The Lord promised he was coming. He promised this in the first century. We're now living in the 21st century, 2,000 years later. Where is the promise of his coming? And then people conclude that means God is slack, that he's not keeping his promises. Now, you'll notice the Lord answers this, that God lives in the eternal now, that 1,000 years to God are as one day. In other words, when the Lord says, "I'm coming," doesn't mean it's going to be today or next month or next year. And nobody has any idea. God may yet give this world to us an unimaginable extent of time. You see, in every generation, everybody has thought that their generation was special. If you read history at all, back to the beginning of 1900s, First World War broke out, they thought the Lord has to come. And national and international events would have brought people to conclude, surely the Lord is going to come now or soon. Then the Second World War, then the Cold War, then the Atomic Age. When the atomic bomb was designed, everybody thought this now has to be the time the Lord is going to return. And while men have the capability of doing great damage to one another in war, we must not be tempted to think that our generation is in some way special and God must visit in our day. There may be many generations between now and the time the Lord returns. One reason we have for that is that the Lord is going to have this gospel preached in all the world. This gospel is going to be preached in all the world. Then shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, does that mean that every single person on the globe, 6 billion people, must each and every one hear the gospel and comprehend it to some degree? I don't think so. But it certainly means that every nation, tribe, and people, God, who has an elect people out of those nations, will send the gospel to them. They will respond, and there will be a gathering from the nations of the world. Now, this is not God's slackness, as these men of a bad attitude say, these scoffers say. This is not God being slack. This is God building his church. He's giving time and opportunity. And in our generation, thousands and millions are being gathered in. And perhaps in future generations, more and more will be gathered in. Is that slackness? Not at all. That is mercy. That is God's infinite grace to a multitude of sinners that no man can number. The gathering in of his church, of every tribe, nation, and people of all times.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today I want to talk to you about the Global Commission, not the global warming issues that many are so concerned about. Let me assure you that on the eternal day, it will not matter how many trees, it will not matter how many houses or hills or vast prairies remain, because they're all going to be burned up. You read chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and there you will read the account of the day of the Son of Man coming, when all shall be destroyed and burnt up. Now, I know that the carnal man does not like to hear this, men are building for this world as they did in the days of the Tower of Babel. They wanted to build and build and build and make a name for themselves. Well, this doctrine of the Second Coming is the great leveler, because no matter what mansions, no matter what estates men prepare in this world, they're going to be burned up. We're not saved by material things, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by the number of things we have, but rather we are saved by the saving work of the Lord Jesus. The poor and the rich will have the same estate and glory. And the man who has an interest in Christ, no matter what his station here on earth, will have eternal glory. And so I trust that today you'll stay tuned with us as we return to 2 Peter chapter 3 and as we expound the truth that the Lord will come again, but he will come to destroy this world by fire.
Now, 2 Peter 3:12 tells us, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. How can we hasten the day of God's coming? How can we do anything to change that day? Well, we can't. We can't do a thing to change the date in which the Lord will come. But what we can do is put our time and energy and effort into the global mission commission of the church. If you are waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord, as we're commanded, hasting the day of the Lord's return, then we will be a part of the great global mission work of the church. It's not a time to be lazy. You know the parables the Lord Jesus told about the men with the talents? Five talents, two and one. The men with five, he used them well. The man with two used them well. The man with one buried in the ground. What will happen to that man who buries his talents? Well, he's going to be judged. But the man who uses his talents is going to be rewarded. And we who don't follow this bad science, we believe the Lord's word is true. We do not believe that God is slack concerning his promise, but he's going to keep his word in a marvelous way, and the Lord Jesus will come. Now, these sinners who think that the Lord is, well, they're scoffers, they mock, and they don't believe in this promise of the Lord's return, what do? They're like the tares in the wheat field. Remember the tares that were sown by night in the farmer's field? And they just kept growing among the wheat. And at first, they looked very similar. But as they grew and matured nearer the harvest, it became more and more obvious, these are not wheat, these are tares. What did the Lord do? He let both grow together until harvest, till the end of the world. And then the Lord said he would send his reapers and gather those tares into bundles for burning, and the wheat would be gathered into his barn. Now these scoffers, these who deny the promise of the Lord, God in his mercy and long suffering. Now you'll notice the word long suffering comes into this in verse 15, because they account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That's believers do. We do not follow the bad science and the impatience of those with a bad attitude. We account that God's long suffering, even to wicked men, to those tares that are growing fat in the sunshine and in the nourishment of the field, God's great long suffering is at work. Now, these are men also who have a bad future. We're told that they will be taken unawares. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There's going to be absolutely no pre-warning to the wicked. And this destruction of the world will not be preceded by any noticeable events. There will be absolutely no pre-warning. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. And I've never known a thief yet who phones you up and says, I'm coming tonight. The work of a thief is to let nobody know anything about his coming to steal. Now, the Lord is not a thief, and the Lord's not going to steal anything. He's coming as a king, and he's coming to claim his own, and he's coming to exercise justice and judgment in the earth. But sinners will not get a pre-warning. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. They will be taken unawares. And right at that point, all that wicked men cling to will be burned up. Verse 10, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, cities, government, seats of parliament, the powerhouses of the world, the United Nations, they will all burn up. They will lose every earthly possession. And these men will have no place in the new creation. Down in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace. But the wicked will not have peace. The wicked will have no peace. You'll notice they will be with no purity. If we have to be without a single spot to enjoy glory through the cleansing power of Jesus' blood, these wicked sinners who are filthy, they have no purity and they have no excuse. They will be blamed. But we as Christians are to be found blameless. Now, what is your future tonight? What are you resting in? What is your hope? That is the most important question that I can ask tonight. In light of these things, how then shall we so live? You'll notice that in verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all conversation and godliness? To scoff at God's word, to mock, to say, you can't take that seriously. That's to play the fool. Men in the days of Noah did the same thing and they lost everything. They were married to this world and to the things of this world, but the water judged everything. To practice what scoffers believe through bad science will make you a wicked sinner. People who believe in evolution, people who believe that things in this world continue the same from the beginning. There's never been a judgment. Then they conclude there never will be a judgment. Things will just continue as they are. Those who follow that bad science will be greatly embarrassed and judged. And then, of course, they become impatient. And when we go to their door and tell them the Lord is coming, time to prepare, they say, not now. The Lord hasn't come. How can that be? The Lord hasn't come. Now, as I say, I don't know when the Lord is returning. And we're going to learn in these studies that anybody that ever tries to set a date is a false prophet. And everyone that has tried to set dates to date has only proven that they're a false prophet. But whether the Lord comes in our lifetime or not, we have an appointment with the Lord, either from the seat where we sit or the grave where we rest. And there's a resurrection day. Are you ready? Are you resting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? There's no other hope for this world. I read a quote by Albert Einstein. He says he never thinks about the future. It comes too soon. That's bad science from the man whom the world would call the greatest of scientists. He never thinks about the future. It comes too soon. What about you tonight? Have you thought about your future? You know the story of the young man who was asked, what are you going to do after school days? Well, I'm going to get a job. Then what are you going to do? I plan to get married. What are you going to do then? I'm going to have children. What are you going to do then? I'm going to further my career and then come to retirement. What are you going to do then? Well, I'm going to enjoy my life's work and the benefits of all that I've accomplished. And then what? More retirement. And then what? Well, I suppose I'll die. Men don't want to think about the future. But the Bible calls us. Where is the promise of His coming? It's real, and it will be fulfilled. But are you ready? Are you trusting totally in the Lord as your Savior? Or are you just, maybe you don't say it, maybe you don't even think about it, but in reality, your life is reflecting this theory. Everything is continuing as it was from the beginning. No need to worry, no need to plan, no need to be saved, no need for the Lord. All that I have today will continue on and on. What bad science that is. What bad thinking it is. Tonight, may we take heart and rejoice in the promise that the Lord is indeed coming.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins He then forgave. I will sing His praise forever, for His blood, His power to save. He the pearly gates will
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. We take the sermons from our church pulpit at the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale and air them each day on this program, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. I trust that you will be a regular listener here on the station. You can also hear our church service Sunday mornings, 9:30 on this station, 9:30 to 10:30, or 1 hour church service, and I trust it will be a wonderful blessing to your own heart. You can also join us by webcast on your computer. Go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and at 10:30 and 6 p.m. on Sundays, you can join us at live webcast. Just click on the red Live Now button on the front page of our website, and you'll be right into our service. We trust that that will work for you. Now, of course, even better, we want to invite you along to our church. Sundays 10:30 and 6, no Sunday school over the summer, and it's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. I'll give you the mailing address, 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. And of course, if you have any need, give me a call, 604-576-1091. I'll be delighted to take your call, and I trust the Lord will bless you as you listen in to Let the Bible Speak.